إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, today is the first day of the first LEC in Australia. And Alhamdulillah, we are in a very nice location here in Brisbane. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill this time for us with khair, to be pleased with us, to be pleased with our gathering here, to treat this entire period of 5 days as a period of ibadah, and to enable us to do that which makes it ibadah, and to save us from all that which will destroy that ibadah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make that easy for us, and to help us to benefit from it in every possible way. It's a matter of great satisfaction to me that until Shaykh Salim comes here, I think, Allah Alam, what his condition of his beard is at this time, but there is the only white hair that I can see is in my own beard. So Alhamdulillah, we have a lot of, mashallah, young brothers and sisters here, which is, I think, a very good indication of the state of the Ummah, Alhamdulillah. The key thing is to use that resource. Just having a resource is useless. But use that resource, and use that resource, which is your youth, your energy, in a way that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and which is beneficial for everybody, the Ummah as well as everyone else. That is why we are here, inshallah, and we are going to be spending the 5 days that we have here in pursuit of that. So the first thing we need to do, and we need to begin, and I am making that dua, and I am requesting each one of you to make that dua specially for yourself and for all of us, which is to help Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do all that is pleasing to Him, and to save us with khair from all that is not pleasing to Him. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that your instructors are guided to say that which is beneficial for you and for them, and that you are guided to do what is beneficial for you and for everybody else, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves us from that which is not beneficial. Nobody is free from the influence of shaitan. Let me make this absolutely clear. Not me, not you, not anybody. Every single person, as long as we are alive, is susceptible to the whisperings and susceptible to the influence of shaitan. And what is the way to save ourselves from that? Fasta'iz billah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ask the protection of Allah. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziya rahmatullahi alayhi said that with evil people, with the worst of people, there is always something in them which you can appeal to. There is some spark of nobility, there is some spark of integrity, there is some spark of honesty, there is some spark of compassion, there is some, a spark of goodness, that maybe something you say or maybe something you do touches that person. Yeah, there is a famous true story of Genghis Khan, where he was besieging one of the cities of the Muslims, of the Khwarizm, and it was a pre-gone conclusion of what was going to happen, because you had the Mongols who had completely surrounded the city. There was nothing to go in, nothing to go out. And there were people of the city, they were standing on the, some of them were standing on the high walls of the city, and some of them were, they had got to a point where they weren't even shooting any arrows or anything at the Mongols, where there was no way of getting away. And Genghis had already given, he had put out the black tent. He had this routine. He would first, when he came to the city, he would put out a white tent. And that meant that surrender immediately without any fight, and you will be spared. And the next day, they would put out a red tent. And that signal was that surrender now, and your men will be killed, and the women and children will be taken as slaves. Right? So some lives will be spared so to say. I mean, that's hardly a choice, but anyway. And then the third day he would put out a black tent, and the black tent meant that every single living thing will be slaughtered. And they used to do that. They would kill everything. Men, women, children, cows, cattle, chickens, goats, everything. Nothing would remain alive. So he had already put out the black tent, so there was no question of going back on any of that. So he decided to take a walk or ride near the city. And so some of his generals advised him, they said, don't go so close. He said, you know, let's see who will shoot me. So he and some of his generals, Subodhai and a couple of others, who was his commander-in-chief, they came near the city. I'm talking about a spark of goodness which remains in some people, right? So, as they were coming near the city, as they were walking along or riding along the, close to the wall of the city, there was some guy on top of the wall who got over enthusiastic and he lost his balance and he toppled. So from the top of the wall, this guy fell. And miraculously, he fell on the rocks down below, and the wall was, you know, God knows how many meters high. It was a very high wall. Obviously, the wall of a city. So, he toppled from the top, he landed on the rocks, almost at the feet of Genghis Khan, and he stood up. So, he didn't die. Right? Now, Genghis Khan was so amused with this, that he ordered that this man should be spared, and that he should be given a cart full of silver. So they hitched up a couple of bullocks to a cart. Can you imagine, a whole cart? And they had silver and gold like you won't believe, and they had nothing to do with it because there was no monetary system, there was nothing to buy. So the army would just cart around this silver and gold. So they gave him this whole cart full of silver, right? And they spared him, and that was the only one man who was spared from that entire city. Point I'm making is that Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyya rahmatullahi alayhi, he said that there is some spark of good even in the most evil of people. So somebody who can slaughter hundreds of thousands of people without batting an eyelid, without losing any sleep, without that affecting his appetite, nothing. Absolutely, he's perfectly okay with all of that. But such a man also has some spark of goodness. But the shaitan has no spark of goodness. The shaitan is pure evil. So to expect the shaitan to have mercy, to have, to let you go, that's the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said the protection from shaitan is to ask for the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Go into the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you want to be spared from the evil of shaitan. So let us ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from shaitan. And make this into a habit, always. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to protect the one who seeks his protection. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from shaitan. Alhamdulillah, as I said, we are here for the first day, the first tahajjud of the LEC. Now, therefore, let us spend a little bit of time. I don't want to take too much of your time. We will keep the further reminders reasonably short. They actually, the ones that happen all through the year are very short. They are maybe maximum about 15 minutes. The LEC reminders are a little longer than that. But other than that, the idea of a Fajr reminder is to remind us to focus on things for the day, inshallah. And the most important thing that we have done, alhamdulillah, bismillahi ta'ala, is to pray tahajjud. Now, why is that the most important thing? That is the most important thing because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it the most important thing. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave His Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the job of proclaiming His religion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave His Nabi a resource. He gave His Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He gave him a resource. And this is quite natural to understand, because if somebody gives someone a job, then obviously it is the duty of the one who is assigning the task to give what is required to complete that task. You can't give somebody a job and say, Falin, I want you to do this, and then what he needs I don't give him, then how is he going to do the work? So if you give the job to somebody, then you have to also give them the resources. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the job to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to proclaim his religion, and he gave him this resource. And what is the resource? The resource is to connect back with Allah. To connect back with Allah. Because for this work of presenting this deen to all of mankind, we need power, we need guidance, we need knowledge, we need more than anything else, sabr and help. May Allah protect us. We live in a time when people have no adab, they have no manners, they don't know how to talk. They test you, and they test your patience in every kind of way. And if you lose that patience, if you lose that sabr, then the work is gone. It is true, the person opposite you doesn't have the sense to ask you a question. He doesn't know how to ask a question. He asks you a question in a way which is so horrible that, you know, you don't know whether you should answer the question or what you should do with the guy. But if you allow your own nafs to come in the picture, then all the good is lost. All the good is lost. So, therefore, it is very important for us to keep control of that. And that resource is the hadith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this, because the ayat which came with respect to tahajjud were among the first ayat to be revealed. After the ayat of Surah Al-Iqra, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayat of Surah Al-Muzammil. Right? There is some people have said some of the ayat of Muddassir came first and so on, but wallah alam, the ayat of Surah Al-Muzammil are among the first ayats to be revealed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhal muzammilu qum illayla illa qaleela nisfahu wa min qusminhu qaleela awzid alayhi wa rattilil qur'ana tartila inna sanulqi alayka qawlan thaqila inna nashiyata al-layli hiya ashad wat'an wa aqwa muqila. Sayyid Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, about the Asbab al-Nuzul of the surah, she said that the first 19 ayat came, and after that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not send the 20th ayah, the last ayah of the surah, for 1 year. And she said that for 12 months the Sahaba and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed tahajjud as if it was fard. And only then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the last ayat of Surah Al-Muzammil, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave some rukhsah, gave some freedom. Inna rabbaka ya'lamu annaka taqumu till the end. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave some freedom to the Sahaba and said, pray as much as you can, and recite as much as you can, and so on. But until then, with the first 19 ayat, they prayed, and they prayed this salah as if it was fard. Now, I can tell you that inshallah, I believe I'm right, that none of those who prayed tahajjud with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a result of this revelation ever left it. So even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave some ruqsa, they knew by then they had 12 months of, you are talking about praying tahajjud together for 5 days. Imagine doing that for 12 months. And of course there is a vast world of difference between we praying tahajjud together and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba praying together. So that's another thing altogether. But the point I'm saying is that they understood the value of this. Somebody sent me the other day a quote from Sheikh Yasir Qadi, Hafizullah, who said that if you want something and you are not praying tahajjud, it means that you do not really want it. I think it's a nice quote. If you want something and you're not praying tahajjud and asking Allah for it, then you don't really want it. Now, as I mentioned, the ayat of Surah Al-Muzammil, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you wrapped in garments, stand up in the night. Humil layl. How much? The whole night. Humil layl. Stand up in the night. Illa qalila. Except for a small part. Nisfahu wa min qusminu qalila awzid alayhi. Maybe half the night, maybe three quarters of the night. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about, not talking about small, how much we do. For the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba, and for anyone who is serious with regard to his life, if you are serious with regard to something and you have access to resources, how much resources will you take? Take a business issue, for example. You want to start a business, right? And you have a budget. And you know that you need $100,000. And just say for the sake of it, you go to a king for funding. And this king said, alright, tell me whatever you, how much do you want? And if you say $100,000, then you are the biggest fool in the world. You're crazy. Because if the man is saying, tell me how much you want. And you know this guy can give you anything. So why would you ask him for 100,000? Even though you need 100,000. When you have the option to get 10 times that, 100 times that, you know, for at no cost, and you don't take it, then what would you say to that person? You are crazy. I mean, you know, why would you do that? You just lost an opportunity. Here was a great opportunity to get the money halal. The man wants to give it to you, it's for free. He's not asking you to return it, there's no interest payment on it, nothing. He says, how much do you want? He said, I want 100,000. You're crazy. Why would you want 100,000? You're asking for a million, you're asking for 10 million. You know, what is it? So here is the issue of tahajjud, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends, the hadith of Qudsi, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to the first heaven in a manner that pleases him, and which is in keeping with his majesty and grace. And an announcement is made, as who is there who wants anything from me? Who is there who needs my protection? Who is there whose needs have to be fulfilled? Let him ask and I will give. And at that time, if we are sleeping, and then we say, you know, I have this difficulty, that difficulty. So, what can anybody do? So the thing is that very, very important for us to, somebody's car alarm went off, I think. Anyway, it's okay, leave it. And there is also something that sounds like a guinea bird. Now what's a guinea bird doing in Australia? So at that time, when the doors of the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are open, if we are sleeping and then we say, you know, this difficulty, that difficulty, who is to blame? So we must get serious with our lives. Success is there for the asking. And success of dunya wal akhirah inshallah. Is literally there for the asking. So ask. Humil layla illa khalil. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the ayat after that, Allah spoke about the importance and the difficulty of the job of Da'wat al-Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna nashiyati layli hiya ashad. Allah said, we know that getting up in the night is not easy. That getting up in the night is very difficult. Hiya ashad. Wata'un wa aqwa muqila. But it is the best thing to understand the kalam of Allah and to discipline yourself. So my submission and request to you is, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you the tawfiq to make tahajjud fard on yourself for the rest of your lives. Make this niyyah that inshallah from today, you prayed tahajjud today, make the niyyah that inshallah from today, you will never leave tahajjud till the last day of your life. Make the niyyah inshallah, yes? And I will make dua for you that inshaAllah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant it, that when your time comes to go before Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes your soul in tahajjud, in sujood, inshaAllah. We ask Allah to accept. If Allah wants, there is nothing that Allah cannot do. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this dua for you. Provided you make the niyyah and you make the effort to pray tahajjud without fail throughout your life. And as I said, the only way you will do that is if you see the value of it. Not as a musibah, not as, oh, I've got to do this. No. It is something of such tremendous value. It is something which will solve all your problems in the dunya and akhirah. It is something where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is directly asking you to ask Him. The time for acceptance of dua is tahajjud. The time to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala your story, to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to get an answer. All of this, the time is tahajjud. So never miss tahajjud in your life. Now it's very easy to do that. Get up 1 hour before the time of Salatul Fajr begins. Not before Adhan, because in Adhan, in some countries they give it at the time begins, and some other countries they give it later, and so on. So don't worry about that. And look at the time and say, what time is does Salatul Fajr come in? Wake up 1 hour before that, inshallah, that's good enough. If you wake up longer than that, even better. But anyway, at least 1 hour before that. And pray tahajjud. Nafil, 2 by 2. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to pray 8 rakat. You can pray 8, you can pray less, you can pray more, whatever you like. And make a lot of dua. Make a lot of dua. Tahajjud is a good time also to recite long surahs. Tahajjud is a time when, if you are not hafiz, you can look at the mushaf and recite. You can hold the Quran in your hand and read. Keep a chair or something next to you and put it on that. Put the mushaf on that when you go into ruku and sujood. Tahajjud is the time to make long ruku, long sujood, and to make a lot and of dua. And with the complete yaqeen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you what you want, inshallah. Because there is nothing that is beyond the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you. Inshallah, tomorrow we'll talk about dua and how to make dua and how to get it accepted, inshallah. But today, let us focus on this. Right? Focus on this. Tahajjud is also a very good time to, because it's a quiet time. Tahajjud is the time between you and your Rabb. Khalas. There's nobody else involved. It's true for all the salat, not only tahajjud. But that time tahajjud, also the environment supports you. Because other salawat, there is noise, this, that, something is happening. But in tahajjud, there is no noise, nothing. At that time of the night, everything is peaceful and quiet. Hasan al-Basri rahmatullah alayhi stood on this musalla, famous quote. He stood on his musalla and he said, "Oh Allah, the whole world is sleeping. Even the stars have gone to sleep." And he said, "Oh Allah, there are only two who are awake. You on your arsh and me here." Now, the point is that these are the aqwal of the people who are connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is talking to his Rabb. So do that. When you stand in tahajjud, as I said this morning also when we were praying, first, before you do anything, before you make the niyyah, start salah, just stand there and get a sense of where you are. Ask yourself, where am I? I am standing alone by myself. My Rabb is seeing me real time. Now when I start reciting Quran, Allah is going to listen to me. Allah is going to listen to me reciting His own kalam. And what must that do to you? Think about that. You are going to be reciting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala His own kalam. وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this hukum. Recite the Quran to me. Let us see, what do you know? Have this sense. I am going to recite Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kalam to him. Get a sense of that. Somebody asked me the other day, they said, which surahs should I recite in tahajjud? So I said, ask Allah. Why should I tell you? Why do you want to ask me? You know, you are praying for. So ask Allah. He said, what do you mean? I said, ask Allah. He said, Suratul Fatiha we have to do, but that's, there is no condition, there is no, you know, negotiation there you have to. Without Suratul Fatiha there is no salah. So I said, stand, pray Suratul Fatiha, and then stand and ask Allah, Ya Allah, what surah do you want to hear now? And then recite whichever surah Allah puts in your heart. And I said, be prepared to hear yourself reciting a surah that you did not know. Stand in tahajjud, pray surat, recite Surat al-Fatiha, and then ask Allah, Ya Allah, which surah do you want to hear? And take your brain away. Yeah? If a thought comes into your mind, I want to hear Surat al-Alaq, I say, no, I don't know the surah. I want to hear Surat al-Rahman, no, but I know only some ayat. Forget all that. You asked Allah. So listen to the answer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put in your heart what He wants you to, what He wants you to recite. Stand there until you get the thought. If it looks like time for Salat al-Fajr, play Qul Huwallahu Ahad and finish your Salat, but I'm saying that. Wait. The reason I'm saying this is, you know, really seriously ask yourself. See, the thing is, subhanAllah ta'ala, Allahu al-Amthal, we're not trying to compare Allah to anything else, but I'm just saying very simply. Very simply to understand. If I ask my brother Ihsan for something, if I'm asking for something, I say, supposing I say to him, where is so and so? Then what must I do? Wait for the answer, no? I mean, ask him a question. He hears the man, he can hear me, he can, I'm standing in front of him, he can hear me, he can understand, I'm speaking a language that he can understand. I ask him a question, so wait for the answer. When you do these things, is then when you will get the yaqeen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is when you will get the yaqeen on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we are what we worship, a Rabb who lives. We worship a Rabb who sees. We worship a Rabb who hears us. We worship a Rabb who will respond. So ask Allah. Ya Allah, which surah do you want me to hear? Which surah do you want to hear from me? And as I said, don't be surprised if you suddenly start reciting a surah that you didn't know. But the key thing is, don't bring your own logic into this thing. This is not a matter of logic. This is a matter of the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So do that and see. Tomorrow when we talk about dua, I'll tell you something else about dua. This whole LEC is a course, it's not a course of information. I don't even call it knowledge, because knowledge is something else. We'll talk about that in the class. It's not a course of information. We are not, you didn't come here and I didn't come here to stuff you full of information. You will get information. You've got a binder already, but that's not my purpose, right? Number one. Number two, this is not a course of masail or fiqh. This is not a course of this mazhab or that mazhab. This is a course of mashq, of practice. This is a course of tarbiyah. So you will get from this course only that much as the effort you make. And that's why you will find in this course there are no reminders, there's nobody who will come and look for you if you are not here for tahajjud. If you come late to a class, there is no punishment, there is no fine. If you don't come at all, there is no problem. We will ask you about your health, you know, are you okay, you didn't turn up for the whole class, but beyond that, nobody will say anything. Because my theory of life is very simple. My theory of life is I am talking to a bunch of adults. I am not talking to people who are, you know, little children, or I am not talking to whatever, right? I am talking to people who are adults, alhamdulillah. Sensible people with aql, who spend their own time and their own money to come here. Now after taking 5 days out of your life and spending the money for it, if you come here And you want to spend that time, I don't know what, you know, communicating with the trees or something, or just sleeping. Your choice, do it. No skin off my nose makes no difference to me, because in this course I don't make money one way or the other. So whether you come, you don't come, makes no difference. Responsibility is entirely yours. How much will you gain? As much as you want. As much as you want. So ask yourself, how much do you want to gain? And apply yourself like that. And then we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you do that, then to reward you, not in keeping with your effort, but in keeping with His majesty and grace. So then inshallah you will get much, much more than the effort that you made, inshallah. So tahajjud, as I explained, the importance of tahajjud, this is a resource that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I gave you the dalil from the Qur'an. Another big dalil from the Qur'an is in the ayat of Surah Al-Sajda, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, تَتَجَافَى جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنٍ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that, He talked, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the people of belief, the people of Iman, who stand up in the night, who get off their sides, who stand up from the side, meaning they get up from their beds, and they stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, بَيْنَ الْخَوْفِ وَطَمَعِ, between fear and hope. Between fear and hope. There was a young sahabi who was dying, and they came and said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that so and so is dying. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to meet him, and he asked him, what is your state? And the sahabi said, Ya Rasulullah, I am in a state where I am afraid that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish me for my sins. And at the same time, I have hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He will forgive my sins. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, insha'Allah, will protect you from that which you fear, and He will give you that which you hope for. So the position of the believer, our position is, بَيْنَ الْخَوْفِ وَطَمَعَ, between fear and hope. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that those people who get up from their sides and they stand before Allah between fear and hope, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes this action so much that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, He said, فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ عَيُونٍ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Allah said that if they knew what I have prepared for them as a reward for this deed, it would become a source of the coolness of their eyes. The Mufassirin has said that this refers to Jannah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah did not even describe Jannah. He said Jannah is something that is so amazing that we can't even imagine it. So Allah said it will make you very happy. Now imagine tahajjud therefore is a thing which gives us Jannah. Tahajjud therefore, inshallah, tahajjud therefore is something which is a resource for us in this dunya. So make this niyah, inshallah, that you will never miss tahajjud from today till the last day of your life, inshallah. Yes? And make dua for yourself. Make dua for the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because wallahi, you know and I know that this ummah needs the dua of every ummati. It's a mark of our being members of this ummah that we make dua for this ummah. And then make dua for all the people of the world. Make dua for peace and harmony and for safety and security and for prosperity for all the people of the world and for everyone that we come into contact with. Right? Jazakumullahu khairan wa salaamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.